Welcome, friends. James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 19th of April, 2013, here in the land of the rising sun. Meanwhile, back in the United States, in Atlanta, we are joined on the line by our old good friend, Jack Blood of DeadlineLive.info and the Jack Blood Show on the No Agenda Global Radio stream. I hope you are checking into his work and keeping your ear to the ground on the Jack Blood Show as he continues to break news and have all sorts of interesting guests. So always a pleasure to talk to him and pick his voluminous brain. Jack, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program again today.
I object to old friend. Just next time, just friend, okay?
Long time? Would you accept long time?
Yeah.
All right. Long time friend.
Well, and it's good to talk to you, James. Always great to be on your podcast. And it must feel good now that North Korea is not threatening you guys in the United States anymore. It's just completely disappeared in one day, in the same way Chandra Levy disappeared, the big Chandra Levy murder, the day after 9/11. It was just not news anymore.
Yeah, it's funny how we can see the news agenda, and basically what news amounts to is just the basically whatever's capturing the attention of the media basically at any given moment. So it is funny how that works. But of course, what was it that came along to blast away that North Korean story from the headlines other than the Boston Marathon bombing? So I think we should get straight into that. I know you've been covering it to a large extent, but maybe you can fill us in on some of the latest of what's happening right now.
Well, I've just been watching the news here, James, and they have pictures of two kids with baseball hats and backpacks. So there's a bolo for them. Now, there isn't. They do claim that one of the suspects set down a backpack near the crime scene minutes or seconds before one of the blasts went off. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to see that, so we'll just have to trust the FBI. They already tried to frame one teenager, a teenage boy. I believe it goes by Aaron Tang or Tango. And he saw himself on the news with the caption, "Bag man, be on the lookout for." And he called him up, said, "I'm 17 years old. This is freaking me out. Please don't call me the perpetrator. I have nothing to do with this." So I would assume these other two, if they watch the news, or I don't know, if one of their friends does, that they'll be walking into an FBI office or a police station. Is that even safe? And declare their innocence? I have no idea, but I do have some theories on what might have happened, and we're working on those right now.
Well, by all means, let's talk about what. Let's talk about how the story's developed so far, anyway, because I think no matter what this ultimately amounts to, it certainly sounds like there was something that misfired, or some wires got crossed, or something. It doesn't seem like that this was the way that this particular narrative was supposed to play out.
Well, that's why you're so smart. So I think a few things went wrong, and we found that in 9/11, too. There were a few problems, such as Building 7 falling the way it did, or they got caught with put options. I think there's just a lot of things that they had prior knowledge to that. There was a total stand down that the drills, which will enter into what we're talking about with the Boston Marathon bombings and the Sandy Hook shooting and the London 2 bombing 777, the Madrid bombing 911 days after 9/11. You know, we keep seeing these drills being cover for law enforcement doing its job. And the interesting thing about this Boston Marathon bombing is that they were doing drills. Eyewitnesses such as Alistair Stevenson, one of the runners who's had a secondary interview now and confirmed there were drills before the bombs went off. There's pictures of them running a drill, doing the exact same thing that ended up happening at the Boston Marathon. And for those of us who have studied this, and you've certainly talked about it, how false flags go wrong, and some of the work you've done that we've been playing recently on our show, James, shows that, you know, this kind of compartmentalization and confusion on the scene with these drills is really a great way to cover for what might actually happen. So I'm not at the point where I've called this a false flag. I've certainly have been pointing out a number of red flags. And since there is no suspect at this time, there is no motive, which is also very weird. We can't say it's a false flag. It's not blamed on anybody, though we see kind of where it's all heading. So there are so many inconsistencies here. One of the things is, well, you've got all these cameras. Where are the suspects? Now they've found them, and that's why I brought it up first. Where's the footage of them setting down the backpacks? We don't seem to be privy to that.
Yeah, exactly right. Of course, the key image is always withheld in these types of investigations. So we'll see whether or not this actually amounts to what they're saying it's going to amount to. But what's your take on the Saudi angle of this? Of course, with the New York Post running with the story that the Saudi was being detained, and then suddenly Obama's meeting with the Saudi foreign minister, and this person's being deported, and this isn't being talked about at all anymore. So what's your take on what happened there?
Well, it is kind of being talked about. This is a really interesting angle, and where you brought up a good point that maybe something has gone wrong. I have a sneaking suspicion that Saudis could have been used for this operation in the same way. If we compare it to Oklahoma City and you look at the work of Jaina Davis, you know, a lot of people talking about John Doe number two being Al-Husseini Hussein, who happened to be working at Logan Airport, people say, the day of 9/11, where one of the planes, you know, came from. This traces us back to something called Operation Iraqi Paperclip, which is very similar to Nazi Paperclip. Some of the Republican Guard after the Gulf War were brought over to work as plumbers and to do wet work for the Bush crime family, for George Herbert Walker Bush. This has pretty much all been fleshed out, both on conservative, liberal, and everything in between media. It's been chronicled. And what's interesting, if we see what happened in Oklahoma City, is that these guys supposedly were all over this place, these Iraqis that so many people saw, John Doe number two and others, right? And Jaina Davis talked about and got fired for reporting. But in the end, it was a lone right-wing extremist, Timothy McVeigh, that took the blame. Yet there's really no proof that Timothy McVeigh had anything to do with that other than to confess to it. That was primarily his job. Meanwhile, the Iraqis were never mentioned again. So they had two purposes going here. At one time, they could blame the Iraqis and go in and attack Iraq for the second time, which they did after 9/11 anyway. Or they could go ahead and go with McVeigh if they can get away with it. So they're keeping their options open. And I have to assume that at some point at the highest levels of politics or higher, that these people are arguing over who gets to be the patsy. And, you know, the neocons are saying, let's let it be a Muslim extremist, not a Saudi Arabian one, probably, but a Muslim extremist none the same. And so that we can, again, justify the various wars that we're having in Eurasia at this moment and the new wars, which they want to push through that they're having trouble scheduling because of public opinion. But at the same time, they'll also be able to have a white Obama-hating patsy. Or, you know, today we found out this guy had sent this ricin, allegedly, this this Elvis impersonator, right, that goes along with the narrative of 9/11 with the anthrax. Later we found out that was an inside job, though they say it was a rogue inside job. So there's a lot of the narratives are all matching up here. I have a feeling, James, that this Saudi or a Saudi could have been used in this operation, and that it has been flown out already, in much in the same way they flew out the bin Ladens after 9/11, or they flew out the Taliban before the invasion of Afghanistan on C-130s, better known as the Airlift of Evil. I've got eyewitnesses. Gary Bowersox, who I interviewed. Bowersox told me he personally saw this, a gem hunter. We remember Tora Bora, right, with how they let bin Laden escape in Tora Bora, which was featured in the film Press for Truth and talked about by Seymour Hersh and others. I have a feeling that they can play it both ways here. And the amazing thing is that the weird thing about all of this is that they didn't have somebody already in hand. They didn't have a burning passport in their hand, which was fiction, they later told us. We didn't have Rumsfeld on the Pentagon saying, blame this on Osama bin Laden. This is the FOIA request that later came through his notes as he's talking to Steve Cambone, a message to General Myers. Blame this on bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, whether it's real or not. We don't have that now, and a lot of the things we got after 9/11, we didn't get to way later. A lot of things we got from Oklahoma City, we didn't get to way later. I mean, we are literally within days of this, but the fact they didn't already have a patsy, or they didn't already have a culprit, or they didn't have somebody to arrest, they're running drills the whole time this is happening, replicating the same thing. The fact that Obama that very day signed the Stock Act, which eviscerated any accountability for insider trading for the president, the vice president, and all of Congress, and that Cornerstone Research, who investigates insider trading, was at the heart of one of these bombs in Boston, makes me very suspicious. And I just, it's bugging me. I think that perhaps They could have used a Saudi to do this, but they can blame it yet on anyone they want at this point. So that's how it works. There's always, of course, the possibility that some crazy homicidal maniac got into the hardest part, the most secure part of that race, right under the noses of all the police, and laid these bombs down. But, you know, I'm skeptical of that.
Well, that's pretty much in line with what I'm thinking about this as well. I'm extremely skeptical. But if terror in the United States was to look like anything, I would assume it would look something more like this than spectacular acts of people coordinating hijackings.
Well, we would be seeing a lot more of this, though. And this has been my question. The borders, the ports are wide open. People are given these visas, as we heard from Michael Springman in 9/11. You know, why hasn't there been more attacks on soft targets? By the way, it's interesting to note, you know, one of my researchers is a bomb expert in the Iraq war, and he was doing service. He's also been involved in some urban shield drills, which drills for just this very thing at sporting events. But what he said to me was that this looks very much like the old IRA bombs. It's kind of the same method, which we can later trace back to MI5 and MI6. A lot of false flag terrorism involved there in reigning in Ireland by Great Britain. And it does kind of have those fingerprints to me. It does kind of ring and sounds very familiar on that level. But there are a lot of people that are in the employ of high intelligence, whether it be Mossad or MI5 or the CIA or even the FBI, which has gone global now, James, that can pull something off like this with a little bit of cover. And when you have that drill running just as they did, it's very easy for the police to look at anyone suspicious and go, it's probably part of the drill. As we saw, NORAD was confused on that drill on 9/11. Is this really happening or is this the drill? Because it was the same thing.
Well, regardless of whatever this ends up turning out to be, you know that the powers that shouldn't be at any rate are keeping their eye on the way that the information about this bombing has propagated through the Twitter sphere and all of that, and some of the investigative work, I guess if you could call it that we've seen from 4chan and others of pouring through the hundreds of photographs and identifying suspicious individuals and pointing out the caps and uniforms, basically, of the Craft Services International or whatever that turns out to be. I mean, a lot of this has basically been crowdsourced now, and it perhaps indicates that we've entered a new era of these types of false flag events where it will not be as easy as it was on 9/11 to suppress the type of evidence that right now is instantaneously available to everyone in the world, basically, through online social media.
I love that. And I think what I hear you saying is that we're all getting a little smarter and we're able to watch things a little more closely. And, you know, I just saw a reporter on MSNBC, I think it was, talking about how they released these Bolo pictures for these new suspects and that the people of Boston weren't calling for their head. They weren't swearing at the TV and vowing vengeance and to kick their butt. They pretty much were just kind of, another one. You remember they were going to try to announce this yesterday and everybody went to the court in Boston and they literally had to fake a bomb scare to get the reporters away from there because they couldn't go forward with the press conference because it's so flimsy. They don't actually have the evidence that they say, or they'd show it to us. It would be on the news right now, the guy setting down the backpack and walking away. They don't have that. They just keep showing this reel over and over again. And a lot of us are still asking, what was going on at the JFK library? Because supposedly there were drills there in Cambridge across the river. And we heard that there was some kind of an incident there. And later that was dampened and played down and forgotten already.
Yeah, I think all of these data points just continue to play into that idea that you were saying that I agree with, that there was definitely some, there's multiple vectors to this, and it looks like that there may have been cover stories, etc., that were being formed there. Again, we don't really know definitively, but this does stink to high heaven, and I just think that people should have their guard up against this, but that to me is kind of the hopeful thing about this, if there is a hopeful thing, is that this really is an incident that from the very beginning, even the mainstream media has been talking about the false flag possibility, if only to downplay it and to talk about the conspiracy theorists. But I really think we have entered a completely different mindset in a different era where false flag terrorism is now mainstream, part of the mainstream discourse. And I just don't think we've ever seen that before. And certainly it was the farthest thing from a lot of people's minds, or at least the farthest thing from the mainstream media's pages back on 9/11. Think of how fundamentally that's changed, that now we're getting Yahoo News polls that are asking people whether they think the government did it and things like this. I mean, it's just completely changed the mindset. And I see that ultimately as a positive thing, that people are now beginning to really think about this when we see big spectacular incidents occurring.
James, I want you to reach around right now and pat yourself on the back, because,
and you too, Jack,
because of people like you, my friend, people are much more, I don't even want to say the word cynical because it has a negative connotation, but people are much more aware of the possibilities that something like this could be a false flag, that they've planned these things before, whether it be Operation Northwoods, or that we've caught them before at the Gulf of Tonkin, which was admitted, or even the USS Liberty, which has later been declassified and admitted and covered up. I mean, there's quite a long laundry list here. And the fact that this comes on Patriots Day, the fact that this comes in Boston, the fact that it comes on the anniversaries of, and the 20th anniversary of both the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, which we know was an FBI sting operation that went wrong. They didn't really like talking about that openly, but that's just in the records. It was tape recorded. The 20th anniversary of Waco, where we had a massive fertilizer bomb blast yesterday, just very close to Waco in Texas. And then, you know, near the 20th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, which I think this thing is going to end up sharing a lot of, similarities. You look at these pictures of these guys and they look like young Middle Eastern men. So I'm wondering if there was a deal that the Obama people, and I'm not saying Obama himself, because I think he's got to have plausible deniability, and I've never seen him in the loop on much, on anything, other than what's for dinner, go get our hamburgers, boy, is pretty much how they treat him at the White House. But I've seen this, folks. I'm not just trying to be, you know, mean or use some crazy rhetoric here. They literally get this guy out stepping and fetching, cutting ribbons, flying around on the airplane. Big victory yesterday for gun control, James. They lost it as much as they put the Sandy Hook victims out there and paraded them around, including at the marathon, literally a block from where all these bombs went off. I don't know if that was supposed to go too, but I have this impression that there was some kind of a deal made on behalf of Obama that they would be able to blame this on a right-wing extremist on Patriots Day in Boston, an Irishman potentially even, okay? And that somebody went back on their word, and now they're duking it out. And that's why we don't have a definite suspect. That's why we don't have any better leads. That's why there's been so much disinformation in this. There were multiple bombs that they had to defuse. There's bombs everywhere. No, there weren't. They lied about it. They lied about it. They lied about not having the drills. There's pictures of the drills. This just goes on and on and on. It reminds me of the picture that we all saw with Hillary Clinton gasping and Obama sitting on the little chair looking at the death of bin Laden, which they later had to retract and say they never did see that because it never happened. The good news is people are more skeptical and it's harder to get these things through than ever before. The bad news is there's just so many Americans that will automatically fall into this groupthink and want to go get them, whoever it is. So I think the war is being waged right now in the highest levels of geopolitics and politics to blame this in the Middle East or to blame it on a domestic, and they're duking it out to figure out who's going to win.
Well, I agree that is what it looks like, and I think we'll have to wait to see how the charges play out and what kind of patsy ultimately ends up getting the finger and what kind of evidence they produce, and we'll have to keep our eye on it. But speaking of explosions, of course, we've had the fertilizer facility explosion in West Texas. Perhaps we can get your take on what happened there.
That was crazy. And listen, the weird thing about that is it came on nearly the exact anniversary. I think it would have been the 66th anniversary of the exact same thing happening. Fertilizer bomb that blew up Texas City. That was on the 16th. This happened on the 17th. Also, again, that it's by Waco, and that Waco, that maybe this is too much of a stretch for people, but that Oklahoma City was allegedly retribution for Waco, and that allegedly, again, allegedly used fertilizer bombs, kind of says something. It also is a diversion off of some of the missteps in the Boston Massacre bombing. But We just found this today, and so we'll talk about it first on your show. Before the blast, West Fertilizer, that's the company, was in a lawsuit with Monsanto. And they've been in this lawsuit since 2007. We've actually got a copy of that on our website along with so much information. But it was a lawsuit that Monsanto had artificially inflated its prices for its herbicide Roundup through anti-competitive actions. And it gets a little, you know, complex from there. But they were going up against and bothering Monsanto. And that's never a good thing. So I don't know if this there's something wrong with this. I do know that when I was watching the news coverage last night, and remember, I just lived, you know, an hour from where this happened. It leveled a whole city. It killed all kinds of people. Not one question of how did this start? When did this start? How did this start? Just how many people are dead? We just want the death toll. Nobody is even following up, James, on how this thing even happened. And that's suspicious to me. So I'm not saying that anything is sneaky going on here at this fertilizer bomb blast. I am saying, however, that we're not getting answers on that. And this whole Monsanto tie-in, that just I can't help but be a little suspicious.
You go against the gangsters and your factories end up blowing up. Funny how that works. It is an interesting connection for sure.
Yeah, they got a lot to lose. And there's just kind of a little calling card involved in that. As always, and this should go without saying, as we mount evidence and ask very tough questions, you know, we have compassion for these victims. I can't imagine, you know, I have a 9-year-old. I can't imagine him being blown up at the Boston Marathon, which I've actually been to. I lived pretty close to there once on Mass Ave. You know, we're going to a festival, a 420 festival tomorrow on our block, and it's a big concert, and there's going to be 50, 100,000 people there. And you know, my kid goes to a public school, so I worry about school shootings. Obviously, I'm a real person. I really do care about the people that get injured and hurt, and that's really primarily the reason I want to solve these cases. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of people out, even the alternative media, that are all too happy to parrot the information coming out through the MSM. And I'm trying to be really super careful about that.
Well, that's a good point. And that's another point to this, I think, newer era that we've come into of acknowledging the false flag theories that swirl around these events. Unfortunately, the people who tend to get the attention are the people who are the most divisive and are driving the wedge the most firmly between the people and the so-called conspiracy theorists, people who are saying that everyone's an actor and all of this type of stuff that, again, does tend to basically piss off the nation during its time of grief.
Fine when you go search on any information that might be conspiratorial in nature. Again, I just have to use that word, but I've heard a lot of theories coming out of the mainstream media about all of this. So we're not the only ones, you know, postulating a hypothesis here one way or the other. But what that does bother me, and I had to denounce those people, and they try to call into my show, James, and it's just it's more than Occam's razor. It's just unpleasant to say that your kid wasn't killed at Sandy Hook that day. I can't imagine how that people react. And you've seen how Anderson, Vanderbilt, and others have picked that up and run with it to kind of lambast the whole, outside the box thinker movement, if there is such a thing. And now when you go look at Sandy Hook for alternative information, all that stuff comes up first. And I'm sure it's going to be the same here with this because we're already seeing some of the same outlandish conspiracy theories. Not that people don't have a right to their own opinion, man, but it's just too bad that always gets pushed to the front. And I should also say that we just also got this in regarding the Waco explosion. So I'll throw it on the record real quick, James, just for you. North Hills Hospital, proud to be hosting one of the largest emergency preparedness drills ever held in the state of Texas. That was going on leading up to and just around the same time in the same area as the Waco or West Texas, the city of West, not the region, explosion. And we have that story at deadlinelive.info as well. So wherever you see these drills, you know, I mean, it's definitely an indicator. I think it's definitely enough to make some of us suspicious. We've been down this road before.
Well, I think it's at least worth looking into, so I hope people check that out. Again, that's up on deadlinelife.info as we speak. But before we go, are there any other stories that you'd like to get to before we wrap things up here?
Yeah, it sounds like I'm only covering one or two things. We're actually covering quite a bit. And I think the big story about how Obama's and Dianne Feinstein's gun legislation, their gun control legislation, failed yesterday. Obama got very upset and started crying, and we played that on our show. He's very upset, and shame on us. 90% of the people want the gun control that he has compromised on, he says, and he cannot believe that the senators don't see it the same way and accuse flat out the NRA of lobbying these guys, of paying these guys off in order to get their vote, which is his own conspiracy theory, I guess. So we're covering that and the aftermath of that. There's also today a big move on CISPA, which you and I have talked about before, censoring the internet and censoring websites. So we're covering that extensively. Who knows what will happen tomorrow, quite frankly, James. I don't know what to expect right now. So we're very carefully watching where we step so we don't step in anything. And I assume, I guess, North Korea will rear its ugly head at some point. And by the way, we are following Syria. This is worth noting. U.S. troops stage in Jordan to defend al-Qaeda in Syria. How's that for surreal while we're about to accuse potentially al-Qaeda of bombing us again?
Yeah. Well, just part of that ongoing narrative.
Obama said anyone that bombs innocent people should be held accountable. So I guess we should start with him. And the other little caveat to all of this, watching very closely, can the NDAA be used in this carte blanche militarization of police force on the streets, searching people's bags with M16s in Boston in the aftermath of the bombings here at the marathon? Will they now try to sneak that in and give that a test drive? Thanks, James.
Well, that's a good question, and we'll keep our eye on that and all the other things that you're covering at deadlinelive.info. So I hope people will continue to go there to find out the latest and as the headlines are coming out. And of course, while you're there, not only can you check out the Jack Blood Show on the No Agenda Radio stream, but you can also find a way to donate directly to Jack, because again, it is value for value here in the alternative media. And if you appreciate the work, you have to make sure that it keeps coming. So I hope people will click on that donate button and to put a little bit of blood in the blood bank there. Jack Blood, once again, always just a ton of information, and I truly appreciate your time. So thanks for coming on.
And James, we trust, the great James Corbett. We'll see you on my show Monday after next, and we'll get to pick your brain, your nose, or your butt, or whichever comes first.
Looking forward to it.
Stay bold, my brother.